So we're going live.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell, broadcasting live from Southern California.
Hi, and welcome to Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and it's so good to be here with you today. Our show today is called Perseverance is Key, Never Give Up with Michael Block. Michael shares a story of enduring sexual abuse as a child and almost dying from drug abuse, and now he turned his life completely around. He's the author of Happy Endings and a New Beginning, where he shares his story in order to encourage others to persevere and never give up. Welcome to the show, Michael. How are you today?
Doing well, Mari. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Oh, it's just wonderful having you. It's my pleasure. There's some banging going on in the background. I don't know if it's coming from your phone, but there's a lot of interference. Tell us a little about the story. It stopped. Perfect. It's still going on. Something's catching a microphone. Tell us a little bit about the story of how you came to write your book, Happy Endings and a New Beginning.
Well, I write about in the book. I don't write about the process of the book in the book, which would be kind of different. Mm-hmm. But I do write about that I was part of a federal trial in 2000. Well, they actually went to trial in 2009. It had been under investigation for some time. I'm sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. During the trial, my then therapist had suggested to me that I start writing down whatever was on my mind. I had a lot going through my mind, a lot of flashbacks to a day or a long period of time. I was sexually abused, and I had to face my pedophile in court, not against charges of child misconduct, but rather being in possession of child pornography.
Okay.
I knew the man to be in possession of child pornography. In fact, he had taken a picture of me when I was little, and I didn't really think a lot about it then. But I knew this man to be in possession of child pornography as well. His nephew did. We both went to the police. Anyway, long story short, I started keeping notes. Just a note here. She just said if it was just one sentence that she thought about, just write one sentence. And before the trial was ended, I thought, I've got a lot of notes here. And the thoughts that were coming up over the time of the investigation and two were just that. They were just thoughts of, I don't know, I would write short thoughts, and I realized that I had a lot of bitterness still in me, which I had thought I had relinquished. After time, the trial came to an end, and I realized that I had a lot of notes. I went to Africa in 2011, and I was asked to talk about my story, and so I did. And I do apologize if you hear noise in the background. Our gardeners happen to show up just at this time. I realized that's the way it always goes. I realized that I had a lot of notes, and through these notes, I was able to piece my story together. And, Kathy Lee Gifford, if anybody's familiar with her, she has said that everybody has a story. And I realized, yeah, I've got one. And I felt this urging, I call it God, saying, put this in print, put it in print. And when I told my story, I realized that I had a very welcoming reaction, but at the same time, it was daunting to put such a topic out there, especially from a man, because I find that men don't talk about it. So the process itself took probably about 9 years in total to come to fruition. But the title just came to me one day. I was writing, I thought, happy endings and a new beginning. So that's kind of how it came about.
So you said that it's been very well received. What do you think is what people like the most about your book?
Well, Mari, I've got to say my story, when I speak of my story, and I think that I speak pretty clearly in the book of my story, I always feel like people welcome me with hugs. I don't ever want anybody to feel sorry for me. I don't look for pity. I've got a lot more than just my past of being violated as a kid. I don't know that... I don't know where I was going with that, Mari. Can you bring me back? What was
it's
the
okay.
Question?
So I was saying you saying that the story was well received, and I was asking you why you think
that's
that
right.
is.
Yeah. My story is most always well received. I think people are stunned by the fact that somebody would talk so bluntly of their past. I like to tell people, I don't like to tell people, but I lived in silence for many years. As outgoing as I am, there was a lot that I kept from anybody. And it was just, over the course of my life, I had to deal with a lot of stuff that people wouldn't normally deal with, or not a lot of people that deal with. I'm a man who lives with AIDS. I know that wasn't mentioned in my bio with your blog. But I'm a man who's lived with AIDS for 27 years this year. And I don't know. I think that it's something that people don't talk about. People don't talk about how they live with AIDS or, it's still got a lot of stigma attached. So I do believe, though, that there is the story itself is received. It's just a matter of, I don't know, the heart. I think people still have a heart, and they can see my heart in the book.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I do books. I write as well. I'm an author, and also do books with contributing authors. And one of the things I tell my authors when they get ready to write their chapter is people connect heart to heart. When you write something and you put it out there, people connect with your heart.
And so
I think it's wonderful. I mean, it takes a lot of courage. That's why I wanted to have you on, Jared, to be authentic. It takes a lot of courage to put this kind of thing out there, especially the subject matter. I applaud you for that, because the whole point of it is that other people can and will be helped. And why are you so passionate? I know that you're passionate about inspiring others to change their lives and to never give up. Why do you think you're so passionate about that?
Well, I'm so passionate about, really about what I've learned in my life is that our life path is based on our choices. What choices we make in life. I've made a lot of stupid mistakes in my life. I have a younger brother who comes to me for questions. I know that I've got a responsibility, even as a 54-year-old man I am, to my younger brother, because I'm the older brother. I set the example. And look, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life that he's not made. And we find that through our choices, we often find ourselves, and hopefully, I want others to be more conscientious of their choices. And I'm willing to be the sacrificial lamb. I'm willing to say, here's what I've done, don't do it. Or here's what I've done, do it. It's just, it's kind of a love letter. The book has a lot of love letters in it, but it's really, I want people to open their eyes to their choices, because so often we go through life just blindly, or we say yes or no, or we get in or we don't, and I want others just to be aware of their own choices, and I talk about a lot of mine in the book. The book's, I guess if I had to sum up the book in one word, it would be choice. Even purchasing the book, I didn't write the book to make money. I wrote the book because I felt like I had a message in it. And honestly, Mari, the topic matter, I think, leaves people almost like, I can't believe that. I do want to say a message to those readers. that nothing in the book is written gratuitously. It's all to paint a picture of where I was in my head at the time and how child sexual abuse, I believe, affected me. I've been in therapy for a long time, many years. And, you know, I think that a lot of that stuff from my past I've moved ahead of, but it'll never go away. You know, there's looking at myself in the mirror every day. I see a man who lives with AIDS, but I also see my heart. I'm a man who has made a lot of poor choices. I like to joke with people that I like to tell them I'm 38, when in fact I earlier mentioned I'm 54. But you can clearly see that I'm not 38 on my face. I just had lost weight. You know, it's a struggle sometimes getting out of bed in the morning because with AIDS, living that long, I have a lot of ailments because of the disease. I have some ailments because of medication I've taken. I don't know. As I said earlier, I want to be used. I put my book out there to be the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, to so others can see where your choices can take you. That's a kind of a theme in the book.
Okay. You know, there were two things you said that really struck me. You said, I had to live in silence. Or you chose to live in silence, really, all those years.
I chose
from the time
to.
You were a little boy. Yeah. It was a choice, but you felt you had to. And that kind of goes together with, you said, open your eyes to your choices. So a person can choose, can believe they have to live in silence, but it's really a choice to live in silence because of circumstances. But I think that the courage that you stepped into to break your silence is a guide to others, and I think that's part of what the book encourages people to no longer live in silence, to speak their truth.
Yes, thank you for that, Mara. You know, child abuse is never easy to talk about, let alone write about for everybody to see.
Right.
Opening up your journal for people to see. I don't know. You know, I write it how the incidences came about because I also include in the book, and I want my readers. To your show to know that there are signs that you can, I think that were overlooked when I was a kid. Without speaking about what happened to me as a kid, I showed it in other ways. I wet the bed till I was 9 years old. I sucked my thumb till I was almost six, you know, which is later, you know, most kids don't follow in those patterns. I was very quiet for several years, and then about eighth grade I started kind of opening my mouth a bit, and now you can't shut me up if you can't tell. I chose to keep it quiet, but I don't think that's so abnormal. I think you'll find that very common with even grown-ups who are adults who are molested as children. A lot of them don't my junior and senior year of high school, I transferred to a small private school, Christian school that I went to and graduated from. And I knew that school to be an intimate school, and I knew my friends went there. So, you know, my personality began to open up more. And by the time I was 21, I had told my best friend. But we had known each other for a bit. And and then that went on to, and I write about all that in the book, but that went on to, I don't know, just you tell one person, you talk to people. Did you have another question?
Yeah. I'm going to really take a quick break. And you did. You answered it beautifully. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And we can at this time open up the line to callers if you want to call in and ask Michael a question. The number is 929-477-3869. That's 929-477-3869. And we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Cesar Espino, real estate investor, business coach, and consultant, and author of the book, You Can Overcome Anything Even When the World Says No. My number is 424-501-6046. In my book, I talk about making the necessary changes to shift your mind for prosperity and certainty. Pick up your copy at Amazon. I also love helping families with their real estate and can purchase your house fast and all cash. Follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. My number is 424-501-6046.
Are you considering, should I stay or should I go? It's Eileen Head, the Relationship Whisperer. Couples hire me to get love the way they need because at times, most couples feel stuck, trapped, and powerless. I help them to re-engage, reconnect, and rejuvenate their relationship and live a happier, juicier life. Take the free personality quiz and hop on a free strategy call. Let's get this figured out. EileenHead.com, The Relationship Whisperer.
Quick question to you. Are you feeling the connection to your soul, or do you wish to improve that access and discover the power of your holographic mind and the quantum field? If you say yes to that, then join us at the Soul Awareness Retreat in Bali, right on the ocean side, at the magical Shambhala Retreat Center. Come on an adventure of your soul with best-selling author Ilona Selke and Amareya. Find out more at soulawarenessretreats.com.
Do you or anyone you know suffer from chronic pain? Do you want quick, safe, and easy-to-use pain relief? We have the answer. Reflexology is a centuries-old therapeutic pain relief technique. Its power is harnessed with your hands to relieve pain instantly and without any side effects. The best part is, it's easy to learn. In just 5 weeks, you can learn this basic technique and say goodbye to pain and dangerous medications. For more information, visit reflexologyeducation.com.
We're back on Dare to Be Authentic Radio. I'm your host, Mari Mitchell, and I have special guest Michael Black today, author of Happy Endings and a New Beginning. He's been sharing his story of enduring sexual abuse as a child, almost dying from drug abuse, and living with AIDS. So, Michael, let's talk a little bit about authenticity. What role do you believe that authenticity played in all of this for you?
Well, I found something funny along the journey was that somebody asked me when I was writing my book, they said, are you going to use your real name? And it just struck me as odd because I thought, of course I'm going to use my real name, the name that I was given. I don't know how somebody can write an autobiography or a memoir or whatever it is they write about themselves and talk so authentically in the book and then use a pen name. It just didn't connect for me. I'm sure it happens all the time. I don't know.
It does.
You know. Really, I love that your show centers around authenticity. For me, I think I've asked myself many a times, am I being authentic? Not over just the course of the book, but of the course of my life. And it made me wonder, do any of us really know what our authentic self is? I think that our authentic selves for myself is when I'm by myself. That's who I am. I think I put on, and I talk about in the book, my great acting chops. I've never taken acting lesson in my life. However, I think any child, I was 4 years old the first time I was violated. And I want your listeners to know that I was violated from 4 years old. It was like a 2-year break until I became an adult. Not by one, not by two, but by three different men. Over the course of my life, I think because it goes back to my keeping secrets, it's not that you have to bare your soul to be authentic, but you have to live in your own truth. And for so long, I felt like a liar because I thought omitting meant that everything was fine because nobody knew. To live your true authentic self, I think that you have to have your past has to be settled, has to be looked at. And for me, writing the book forced me really to look back. I mean, I had already talked about a lot of the stuff in therapy. It had already come up. I think I started writing a book way before I even thought it was going to be a book. I don't know how old you are, but as I said earlier, I'm 54. My mind is not as sharp as it used to be. you know, and I also take a lot of medication because of all the ailments I have. But it's sometimes difficult for me to piece things together. And as I've gotten older, I just, first of all, scholastics have never been my thing. So my memory just hasn't always been good. However, I do have a great long-term memory. Looking back over my life, I can see the pieces being put together, you know, and how God, in his infinite wisdom, had me go through those trials in order to be a better person. But to answer your question, you know, I don't know that I've always had a contentment in my heart, and that's because I was not living in my own truth. You know, I chose to keep a piece of me from people that I loved and people who would better understand me if I were to give them that piece of the puzzle. I don't know if that made any sense, but
it made perfect sense. No, it makes perfect sense. And authenticity isn't something that all of a sudden we wake up one morning and we're fully authentic. I've been working on this path for many, many years, and it's a continuing journey. That's how it is. You discover more and more ways where you can be who you really are. I like the part that you said, your authentic self is who you are when you're alone. And I think that's true for most of us. Who do we portray ourselves as when we're not alone? You know, who we're trying to be. I used to be like that for years. So, Michael, I believe that you said earlier that the main message you wanted to bring to the public was about the choices that we have, that we all have these choices. What do you think is the first step for a person who wants to begin making better choices?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's in the book, but in doing my research, I learned that the average adult makes approximately 35,000 choices a day. I found that to be unbelievable. So I started counting my choices. And, you know, it doesn't take long to add up. You wake up in the morning, you have to make a choice whether or not you want to get out of bed in the morning. You have to make a choice whether or not you want to put on the clothes. You know, those are the kinds of things that we just go through the motions. But there really are choices. You know, law enforcement might be looking for me if I'm walking around the streets naked. I mean, they'd find me real quick and lock me up, I'm sure. But, you know, that said, the choices add up. Children make approximately 3,000 choices a day. You know, I've made a lot of really poor choices in my life. And I talk about a lot of those choices in the book. I will say that not everything's in the book. I'm going on a sidetrack here. But not everything is in the book. I extracted a lot. I extracted a lot of language. But at the same time, it's being as authentic as I can be with people. How do people start making better choices? I think we need to be cognizant of choice. Even still today, though, I've written a book based on my choices. I still make poor choices. You know, I can't think of one right off the top, but by no means means I'm perfect. You know, we all make wrong choices. You know, we use harsh words, or we run over over a couple lanes that we can't, you know, we're not sure about, and then we get over and we're hit. You know, whatever your choices are, I think the primary lesson in choices is just to be cognizant, to listen. I like to tell men, listen to your gut feeling, because nine times out of ten, it's whatever you want to call it. I call it the voice of God, and sometimes we don't all hear the voice of God the way that we think we hear the voice of God. Women, they have their intuition, women's intuition, and I've heard it said many a times, your intuition's usually the right way. Again, I'm not a woman, but I can see that as the voice of God. And I've gotten it wrong a lot of times in my life, too. But I think just being more aware, you know, people don't realize oftentimes, I'm trying to think if it's all the time. Every time that somebody's in a situation, it's because they've chosen to be there. Now, look, I know that there is war going on, people are held captive, what have you. It's not their choice. But I also talk in the book about the choices of others and how they can affect your life. I think that I don't blame my pedophiles for my living with AIDS, but I can see the pattern of my choices maybe not being right because of, you know, and everything in the books linked together. I began using drugs.
Yes.
I can see now, looking back, as I think a lot of older people can do, they can look back and see, I see why I did that.
Right.
For myself, you know, I have always carried that learning lesson. You know, as a male who was violated by a male, I made that choice early on. If I had heard that most pedophiles repeat their victims, sometimes repeat the offense, and I thought, no, I made that choice. So you have to stop and think about your steps sometimes. Maybe take a breath and then, or pray, whatever it is you, where you find your solace before you make that choice. You know, for myself, I made a choice to do drugs. Nobody forced them on me. It wasn't as though it was a prescription-based addiction. No, it was hardcore drugs. But I made that choice, and nobody ever expected it of me because I was that nice church boy that, you know, people saw with his hair nicely combed. And, you know, it's our choices that can and do change the trajectory of our life, you know, which route we're going to go. You know, do I want to finish that exam? Do I want to finish college? You know, sometimes life circumstance doesn't allow you choices. And I understand that. That's not what I'm saying. But, when you get out of bed, I make a choice that has become a habit every morning when I get out of bed. It didn't come easily. I'm a believer in God. But I give him thanks that I woke up. Because we need to remember there are people who did not. You know, there's sadness in a lot of homes. So, and that, I talk about that in the book, but I make it a choice every day to say to God, thank you. Thank you. You know, just be aware of your prayer brings me to a great place when I'm choosing. You know, it's my go-to. And whatever your go-to is, that's how I go to it. And, you know, I talk about the book has a little faith in it. I want to add that I believe that the book, if you can get through the tough topic matter, I think there's a treasure in the book for everybody. Not children. It's not a children's book. But, I talk about the aging process and how my grandmother's, I watched her process till death. Choice is really, it's just a matter of being cognizant, aware of it. And that's where the book is at, just bringing people aware of their own choices. And
we're going to wind down in a minute, but I so agree with you, Michael, and I love the part about listening to your gut feeling when you're going to make a choice. And usually the first thought that you have is your path, you know, is the guided path. And so before we run out of time, I want to talk about how to get a hold of your book. How can people get a hold of your book?
Well, if they have a computer or their trusty little phone, I have an Android, which is easy to use. They can go to Amazon.com or they can go to BarnesandNoble.com, which I've done a lot of business with Barnes & Noble, so that's really my go-to. Or you can go to check your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you if you don't know how to do that.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
and the book is called Happy Endings and a New Beginning.
Happy Endings and a New Beginning, and the author is Michael J. Black. There's several Michael J. Blacks. But Michael J. Black.
Okay,
yes,
very
ma'am.
Good. Well, Michael, we're out of time. It's just been wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me, Mari. It really means a lot to me and to your listeners. Enjoy.
Thank you. It's been totally my pleasure. And thank you for listening in to us. And make sure you pass along this interview. The replay will be there shortly. And have a great rest of your day. And listen to next episode of Dare to Be Authentic Radio.
And make right choices.
This is Dare to Be Authentic Talk Radio Worldwide with relationship coach, life coach, and author Mari Mitchell. Broadcasting live from Southern California.